KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up on KOMO News.
I'm Ryan Harris with the frustration over coronavirus vaccine supply as one county tries to run mass vaccination sites.
Restaurants plead, let us reopen. I'm Corwin Hake. Health experts say stay the course.
Plus traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the fours. Live now to ABC News. KOMO News time, 1 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President-elect Joe Biden returning to Washington, D.C. for his swearing-in ceremony tomorrow. He and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will take part in pre-inaugural ceremonies, beginning with the National COVID-19 Memorial Service at the Lincoln Memorial tonight. It marks the grim milestone reached today, 400,000 Americans who have died so far. History unfolding amid a pandemic and heightened security in the wake of the U.S. Capitol siege. ABC's Alex Stone is there.
Here on the National Mall in front of me, in place of people, there are flags, thousands of them, representing the people who would have typically filled the mall here from the Capitol to the Washington Monument during the inauguration. In a cold wind here, National Guard members watching over the area. There are no crowds. The streets outside of the secure zone are empty. It's almost like a ghost town as a wind whips this area. Alex Stone, ABC News, on the National Mall in Washington.
President Trump will not be participating in the transfer of power inauguration traditions. He's planned a send-off for himself, and he's prepared a farewell speech. ABC's Andy Field has more.
The White House releasing a prepared speech where President Trump acknowledges the new Biden administration, but doesn't mention his name. Only that, quote, "We pray for its success in keeping America safe and prosperous." Mr. Trump outlining his successes in the pre-pandemic economy, that the assault on the Capitol horrified all Americans, and that political violence can never be tolerated. Mr. Trump teasing his future plans, saying, quote, "The movement we started is only just beginning."
One of the president's longtime allies now drawing a firm line in the Senate.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in what would be his last floor speech as Majority Leader, placing blame on President Trump for the January 6 attack on the Capitol.
"The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people."
ABC's Inez De La Cotera reporting from Washington. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Good afternoon, KOMO News Time 102. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. There's frustration from leaders of one of the Puget Sound regions over the fight for every dose of COVID-19 vaccine. More from KOMO's Ryan Harris.
Snohomish County Executive Dave Summers says they could give 30,000 doses a week at their three mass vaccination sites and could push that to 50,000 as they also plan for nine more sites. Summers says they're working to get shots out quickly and they're not sitting on stockpiles.
"Just because a private healthcare entity has a lot of doses doesn't mean that we can get our hands on it, nor should the county be penalized for what a private entity is doing. So if somebody else is not getting their vaccine out in a timely manner, we certainly do not want to be punished for that."
Summers says they're working with the governor's office to get questions answered, like if they're still allowed to hold back second doses under the new requirement to use all doses within a week of allocation. If they're not, the health officer is concerned they won't get the supply needed to give those second shots. In Snohomish County, Ryan Harris, KOMO News.
Restaurant owners are pleading with state lawmakers to end pandemic-related closures and save their businesses. More from KOMO's Corwin Hake.
Schubert Ho is owner and chef at Salt and Iron in Edmonds.
"This shutdown has deeply impacted our business."
He assures state senators reopening can be done safely. He did it before.
"The 3 or 4 months in the summertime that we were serving customers at 50% capacity, not one server caught COVID."
Owners tell the Senate Business and Finance Committee they'd like an immediate move to allow reopening at 25% capacity. Lacey Fehrenbach, the state health department's COVID czar, says she gets it.
"We want to reopen our economy as well.
But saving lives comes first.
The restrictions that we have put in place have made a difference."
Under the governor's plan, a region can qualify for phase two reopening if new COVID cases fall 10% over 2 weeks and the region's ICU beds are at less than 90% capacity. Corwin Hake, KOMO News.
Coming up,
a deadly night in Tacoma. I'm Frank Lindsay with the latest on two shootings here.
Another delay in implementation of the plastic bag ban in our state, and you can blame the pandemic. I'm Carlene Johnson.
But first at 104, a KOMO traffic update from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Curtis Calhoun.
overall, it continues to be a pretty light afternoon commute for the most part, though I am getting word of a new crash in Everett. This is Highway 527 near 100th Street Southeast. Looks like we have a rollover crash taking up both directions, so we'll keep you up to date on that. Earlier road work, though, southbound 5 at I-90 in Seattle has wrapped up, though. This traffic report is sponsored by Wendy's. New to the Wendy's 2-for-5 lineup is their classic chicken sandwich. Go grab a 2-for-5 deal and pick two faves like a Dave's single and now the classic chicken sandwich, only at Wendy's. Your next Como traffic at 1:14.
Our Como forecast now from meteorologist Kristen Clark.
As expected, morning fog has been very slow to clear. We can thank a light wind and a low sun angle for that. But we're back to sun this afternoon for most locations, a dry evening forecast. But tonight, a few light showers are likely across the northwest interior with a cloudier day area-wide tomorrow. Come Thursday, we're tracking scattered showers by then. It's behind that storm the conditions trend colder this weekend and potentially cold enough to see a few wet snowflakes mix in with rain showers Sunday and Monday of next week. And the Como Weather Center meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Sunny in Seattle right now, 42 degrees, Como News Time 105. Governor Inslee announced effective immediately, any Washington resident age 65 or older can now get the vaccine for COVID-19. Como's Brian Calvert with more details as to how the state is going to accomplish this.
In his address yesterday, Inslee unveiled plans to open massive vaccination sites across the state, utilizing a series of privately owned facilities, including a Redmond campus that's virtually a ghost town these days.
We don't have employees in all of our buildings these days, so we're going to be working with local hospitals so that they can administer their vaccines in a building on our campus.
Microsoft's Brad Smith is on board. So is Starbucks CEO Kevin Johnson.
Now, we're here to support the governor, Dr. Shaw, and all of their staffs who are working tirelessly to serve the people of the state of Washington.
A vaccine in every coffee shop? Maybe not, but plans aren't final just yet. By lowering the vaccination age to 65, more than 1.5 million Washingtonians are now eligible, meaning the state must now create capacity to avoid long lines like we saw last week at a vaccination site in Squim. Brian Calvert, Como News.
The Washington State Patrol says it's not aware of any credible threats against our state to coincide with Joe Biden's inauguration, but they're not taking any chances. Trooper Kurt Boyle says that they're working not only to protect government resources and property, but also everyone's right to free speech.
All these folks are here to serve the public. They're here to maintain peace and order, and they're here to guarantee those constitutionally protected rights.
The State Patrol says any drawdown in security would happen after Inauguration Day, and it would be gradual. State lawmakers have agreed to a further delay in the plastic bag ban signed into law by Governor Inslee last March. Details from Como's Carlene Johnson.
It's been nearly a year since Governor Jay Inslee signed the bill into law aimed at reducing pollution from single-use plastic bags by establishing minimum state standards for their use.
Plastic bags are one of the most commonly littered items, and they often end up in the stomachs of fish and other sea life.
The law was set to take effect the first of this year, but the pandemic changed that, with manufacturers unable to keep up with demand for takeout bags and many stores not allowing people to bring in their own reusable bags. Catherine Holm with the Washington food industry.
If the bag ban took effect now, the vast majority of retailers would not be able to comply with the law as there are not enough bags available.
So the House Energy and Environment Committee passed a bill this morning 13-0 to delay implementation of the plastic bag ban until July the 1st. After that, it's bring your own bag or buy a paper bag. 8 cents for each one. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
There were two shootings overnight in Tacoma. Left one person dead and three more wounded. Como's Frank Lenzi reports from Tacoma.
The first one happened around 7:30 last night. A 20-year-old man walked into a gas station at 15th and Sprague and said he and his 22-year-old friend had been shot.
Officers arrived and located a vehicle in the 1800 block of South 15th Street, which is approximately a block away from here, and found a second victim unresponsive. They immediately started life-saving measures on the victim in the vehicle. Tacoma fire medics arrived, and he was unfortunately pronounced deceased on scene.
Wendy Hatto with Tacoma Police says the other man was rushed to the hospital and may not survive. The second shooting happened around 2 this morning near 31st and East R Street, not far from the Emerald Queen Casino. In that case, a man and a woman in their 30s sitting in a parked car were shot. Both were taken to the hospital with serious injuries. In Tacoma, Frank Lindsay, Como News.
The driver of a large box truck lost control on an I-5 overpass and crashed into the freeway below early this morning. It happened in North Seattle. Police say the driver is suspected of DUI. The truck was heading along Northeast 80th Street near I-5 when it apparently veered off the road and then went crashing through bushes as it fell down a steep embankment. It careened across all of the southbound lanes, eventually smashing into the concrete barrier on the left side of the road. Troopers say the truck driver was taken to a local hospital to be checked out for minor injuries. Amazingly, no other vehicles were involved. Como News Time, 110. Time for an update on sports from the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk. A former UW football coach raids the Huskies coaching staff.
Texas new head football coach Steve Sarkisian putting together his staff in Austin and reportedly will hire the Washington Huskies' Pete Kwiatkowski as the Longhorns' defensive coordinator. Since 2014, Kwiatkowski has helped the Huskies become one of the top defensive groups in the Pac-12. Grammy-nominated artist Eric Church and Jasmine Sullivan will team up to sing the national anthem before the Super Bowl February 7th. Which teams will play in the Raymond James Stadium in Florida? Well, that's decided Sunday. Brady and the Buccaneers at Lambeau against Rodgers and the Packers, and the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs take on the Buffalo Bills. The Seattle Mariners preparing for the 2021 spring camp and beyond. Due to COVID-19 precautions, the club holding virtual press conferences this week and next. General Manager Jerry DePoto says he'd like to add some bullpen depth and find a left-handed bat utility player. And citing a zero-tolerance policy, the New York Mets ownership has fired GM Jared Porter. A female reporter claims he texted explicit messages and images to her when she was covering the Chicago Cubs 4 years ago. Sports at 10 and 40 after the hour. Bill Swartz, Como News.
There's a new report that finds more than half of those who've already received or anticipate receiving a federal stimulus check don't believe the money is enough to sustain their financial well-being even for 1 month. Bankrate.com's chief financial analyst Greg McBride takes a closer look with Como's Tom Hutler.
Well, sounds like the stimulus checks are or will be welcomed, but for many of us, kind of a Band-Aid approach.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it. I mean, we saw that a little bit more than half say it's not going to last them or sustain their financial well-being for even a month, but more than 70% of those expecting to receive one of these payments said it's important to their near-term financial well-being. So I think it illustrates the widespread need and the fact that, there are a lot of people that they may be working, but they're making less money than they were. They're closer to the financial edge. This one payment in and of itself isn't going to be a panacea.
Yeah, less than a month that it would last. That's pretty dour. And, of course, just 8% plan to use at least some of the money for non-essential spending. Many are forced to use this for very, very essential household needs right now.
And that's one of the things. We've actually looked at this last March, at the end of March, whenever the economy was first locked down. And we see a lot of similarities between when we had done this back in March and where we are now. And the 8% that say they're going to use it for discretionary some of it for discretionary spending, that's no different than it was last March. And, what were the most common uses that people pointed to? It's paying day-to-day bills, monthly bills, day-to-day essentials, paying down debt, boosting savings. Those were the top four last March. Those are the top four now, and there really hasn't been a great deal of shift there. So further underscoring this ongoing need many households have.
Also underscoring that is your recent report that said only about 39% of us could cover an unexpected bill, maybe a auto repair bill or an emergency room bill of $1,000. And that's certainly not something this is going to help at this point.
No, you're right. And one of the things is, you look at the 53% that say it's not going to last a month, and skeptically you can say, well, yeah, okay, but the payment is half of what was paid out last spring. But when you combine the 39% that, can't cover $1,000 in savings, the 42% of households we found that are earning less now than they were pre-pandemic, and this 71% that say it's important to their financial well-being, which hasn't changed a whole lot since last year, all of a sudden, it's right in line with all of those.
Desperate economic times we're in, and of course, the new president inherits them tomorrow. Thanks as always, Greg McBride, chief financial analyst for Bankrate.com.
That's Como's Tom Hutler. Well, here's an easy way to just wipe out all of those financial concerns you may have. The third biggest U.S. lottery jackpot is on the line tonight, although your odds of winning are slim to none. The jackpot for tonight's Mega Millions drawing is an estimated $850 million. You, of course, would have to pay tax on that, and if you took the cash payout, that would be something over $628 million for the winner who doesn't wait 30 years to collect the whole $850 million. Como News Time, 1:14. It's time for an update on traffic from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Curtis Calhoun.
In Everett, dealing with a major accident investigation blocking both directions to Highway 527 at 100th Street South. This is a rollover crash and no ETA for reopening lanes in Everett as of right now. So definitely avoid that if you can. Over your mountain passes, no restrictions over both Snoqualmie and Stevens passes. Also looks like some earlier road work southbound 5 at I-90 in downtown Seattle has wrapped up. And overall, both directions of I-5 pretty wide open through Seattle and Tacoma. Your next Como traffic at 1:24.
Our Como forecast now. Weather is pretty nice this week. A slight chance of showers Thursday. And then by Sunday, maybe a rain-snow mix in Seattle. But other than that, we're staying dry and mostly clear overhead. Should make for a nice sunset again tonight. Temperatures cooling through the week, though. Our daytime highs today in the upper 40s. Low 40s, though, by Friday. Still warming up. 42 and sunny in Seattle at Como News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now the headlines are following from the Como 24/7 News Center. President Trump apparently bidding farewell to the nation in a pre-recorded video, saying that as he ends his term as president, he's proud of his achievements. And new findings reveal the U.S. still appears to be on an upward trajectory in the number of deaths caused by coronavirus. This is coming from researchers at the University of Washington. Today, we reached that 400,000 death mark, and the UW researchers believe that toll will be more than 556,000 deaths by May 1st. Como News Time, 1:16. Until last week, no president had been impeached twice, and no president has ever been impeached by the House while still in office and then tried by the Senate when they're out of office. But that's what's going to happen as soon as this week. ABC's Inez de la Quintera is covering the timing, and she joins us on the Como News Line. Inez, when is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi expected to send the article of impeachment over to the Senate?
So we are expecting House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to send those articles, pretty quickly after Joe Biden is sworn in. So, probably anytime after Wednesday, possibly by the end of the week. We know senators are trying to get a head start on the Senate trial by meeting today. You have Chuck Schumer, who is soon to be the majority leader, and the current Senate majority leader, soon to be minority leader, Mitch McConnell, both meeting today to kind of talk about the impeachment trial, to also talk about, rules in the Senate going forward. They're concerned about deadlock in the Senate, given that there's going to be a 50-50 split with these recent Democratic gains in Georgia. The two Democratic senators from Georgia are expected to be sworn in on Wednesday, so that's when we can expect the new Senate to be inaugurated. So we're expecting the Senate trial, or for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi at least, to send those articles, that one article of impeachment, to the Senate by the end of the week.
So new senators, especially like those from the late Georgia runoff, are probably, moving to Washington still, getting their belongings together and then finding their offices. Is there like a time limit or a shot clock for the Senate to behave under once they get that article from Speaker Pelosi?
So typically they're expected to move pretty quickly. I think that's why you saw last time around. And even this time around, there was discussion as to whether Pelosi would be hanging on to those articles of impeachment. I'm not exactly sure if it's in the Constitution that they have to immediately take up the trial once they've received those articles of impeachment or not, but I do believe they're expected to take it up pretty quickly. And that's why there was a lot of talk last time around, last time we went through this last year when the president was impeached, Pelosi was considering holding on to those articles, back then and then this time around again as well. So it should be done pretty quickly.
The Senate is split 50-50 with the Democratic majority through the vice president-elect Kamala Harris. But what does that slim Democratic majority mean for how the trial works? What's going to look different to our eyes compared to last time?
So the trial, they would need two-thirds of the Senate to convict President Trump. So that 50-50 split, it does kind of help Democrats. It's you know, slightly fewer people to convict the president, but they are going to need 2/3 of the Senate. So they're still going to have to work with some Republicans. There are a number of Senate Republicans who have, you know, been harshly critical of the president, who seem to be supportive of convicting him. More moderate elements like Mitt Romney or Pat Toomey, Ben Sasse. So those are going to be Lisa Murkowski, of course, Susan Collins. So those are going to be some to watch. I think that the concern on the Democratic side is that given that the trial is going to be held once the president has left office, and that's never happened before, I think there's a concern that there might be a kind of loss of momentum, that there's going to be less of a sense of urgency to convict the president because, you know, the argument's going to be that he's no longer in power anymore. What's the point? Let's just show him clemency, if you will. So that's something else to watch as well, how Democrats try to keep the momentum going. I think one of their big arguments is going to be that, you know, they're going to push this idea that the president needs to be convicted because if he is convicted, he can't run again in 2024.
ABC's Inez Della Catera with us on Como News. Inez, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Como News Time 120. It's time for a Propel Insurance Business Update. Here's Jim Chesko.
International experts expect the election of Joe Biden to boost economic growth in their countries. The IFO Institute says Biden's win will add, on average, 1.16 percentage points to growth in their countries in 2021, providing a ray of hope for global economic development. But respondents in the U.S. didn't expect any change domestically. Stellantis has made its Wall Street debut, taking on a new name following the completion of the $52 million merger between automakers Fiat Chrysler and Peugeot parent PSA Group. Shares of the now fourth largest automaker by volume, trading under ticker symbol STLA, are up 11% on the New York Stock Exchange. That's your money now.
Well, the market's looking like they've closed higher today. The Dow up 116 points, a third of 1%. Close to 1% positive for the S&P 500 today, up by 30 points. And it was a 1.5% gain for the NASDAQ, up just about 200 points to end the day at 13,197. Money news at 20 and 50 past each hour. A traffic update is next.
Stay home, stay connected, stay informed with Como News on your smart speaker.
Como News 1000 FM 97.7.
I'm Amanda Factor here.
Como keeps you connected to your world and the latest on the fight against coronavirus on the radio, online, all the time. Como News.